Are you working on your author career but struggling to get that first book published? Does the goal of being an author seem too lofty? Or are thoughts of having multiple books and making a full-time living are as fantastical as living in Cinderella's castle? Welcome to Discovered Wordsmiths, a podcast where aspiring authors can be heard. Join Stephen Schneider as he finds and talks to authors you may not know, but authors that have gotten their foot on the author career path. Hear what they've done to get there and where they want to go now. Settle back. It's time for a bit of inspiration and advice. Come listen to today's Discovered Wordsmith.
Welcome to episode 62 of Discovered Wordsmiths. This is with a buddy of mine, Reese, who I've known all of our lives, and we talk about reading a lot. Not just books, which happen to be mostly Stephen King horror novels, but a lot of fantasy and a lot of comic books, along with movies, etc. So it's a good talk we have about reading, his reading habits, what he likes to read, why he reads that, etc. And as an aside, Reese and I are doing another podcast called Horror Lasagna, where we talk about some of the best horror movies that you've never watched. We're doing it in seasons. We're almost done with season one as I record this. So check that out and please enjoy the interview with Reese. Great. Well, Reese, thank you for taking some time to speak with me today. It's great to talk to you on the podcast.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
And, you know, as an aside for anyone listening, Reese and I have known each other forever. So I really don't have to ask him that many questions to know the answers. So all the questions are pretty much leading questions at this point. So Reese, I know you're a big reader, have been your whole life, have read everything. Tell us a little bit. Well, you know what? Before we even do that, tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do.
My name's Reese. I'm a graphic designer. I work for a company called Elutic Technical Systems, which is a contractor for NASA. So I do graphic design for rocket scientists.
It's not rocket science, though.
Oh, not me. Not what I do. But the people there actually have T-shirts that say, yes, it is actually rocket science. So
that's great. Tell us a little bit about what you like to read. What got you into reading, I guess, when you were younger?
I always enjoyed reading. When I was in kindergarten, my parents had a set of Charlie Brown encyclopedias.
And I had those.
Yeah. And that's what I learned to read off of, because they weren't teaching reading in kindergarten back then. And so I was picking it up on my own. So, and my father and my brother both loved to read, and they had such exciting looking books on the shelves. I really wanted to be able to read them, but I couldn't. So I started picking up reading in kindergarten, and I continued on and just kept pulling books out of the library or buying books through book clubs. I think I was in third grade when I read my first, air quotes here, adult book. My mother had received Cujo for her birthday.
Yep.
And she had no desire to read the book at all, and it was just sitting on the shelf, and I thought it looked great. And so I picked it up, and that started me reading adult level reading materials, and I really haven't looked back since.
Yeah, and we've talked about that before, that when we were younger, there wasn't really a middle grade or young adult section. There were some books that were kid books that we were targeted a little bit on, C.S. Lewis stuff. Can't even remember them now. But we kind of really went from zero to Stephen King within very short time.
You're absolutely right. I think the only thing that, looking back on it, I would kind of say was a teen level series that I read was the Prydain series by Lloyd Alexander.
Yes.
And I to this day, I'll still just stop and reread all five books. But when you read that series, when you get to like the fifth book, it really doesn't feel like a kid's book anymore. Characters you've known are like being killed off, and you know, you have tears coming down your face, and you're like, this isn't really made for a 14-year-old, I don't think.
So at the tender age of 7 or 10 or whatever, and reading Stephen King, how do you think that affected your future reading?
Well, I ended up basically breaking down into reading two classifications of literature from that point on. I would end up reading fantasy novels because that's what my brother had lots of, and so there was lots of it there available to me. And I would end up reading horror. And between those two, that pretty much covers the majority of what I read for pleasure. There's lots of other times where I've read stuff just because it's been assigned to me, or I thought, you know, I should probably read that. But for the most part, if it's not fantasy, it's going to be horror.
Yeah, and I know some of those same books I've read multiple times. We have quite a few we've read similar.
Yeah, our crossover is pretty big.
Yeah, I remember on the playground chatting with you about Stephen King books.
Yeah, sure.
So yeah. As you've gotten older, you've kind of read the same thing throughout your life. But I do know that you've also read a lot of comic books. That's been another shared interest of ours. So you've got a big spread there in a way, but they're all almost fall under the fantasy category. Why does that attract you more than thrillers or literary fiction or something like that?
I think, you'll find these same veins show up in like my movie watching selections as well. I think what I enjoy a lot about horror, for instance, is that you never know what's going to happen. Because at any point in time in a movie or in a book, the author or director might just all of a sudden decide to kill the main character. And you don't usually get that in police procedurals or detective novels. And fantasy, I've always loved to read fantasy because it completely takes you out of where you are and builds an entire new reality, a whole new world for you to explore through the pages of the book that you're reading.
And obviously, being a graphic and art type guy, that is definitely the attraction of the comic books. Even to this day, some of the stories and the art has advanced so much from the 70s.
Oh, absolutely. There was a period in time when everyone was trying to look like, Steve Ditko. And so when you would look at what was actually on the racks, it all looked like Steve Ditko had illustrated every single book. Nowadays, I liken it to like fine art movement. There are no classifications or groups. They've democratized the process so that you could have a stick figure based comic book, and you will find a market for it if you can get it out there.
And you actually kind of did that many years ago. Unfortunately, it was right before the whole self-publishing explosion happened.
That's true. We had distribution through one of the regular comic book distributors. And that happened to be right at the time that the distribution wars ended, because the main comic book distributor, Diamond Comics, basically bought our distributor out and put them out of business. And all of a sudden we had no venue to get our books circulated. But like you pointed out now, you know, self-publishing is a thing. People do that on a regular basis.
Yeah. So do you think, obviously, loving reading so much, that's spurred you to want to do your own book, want to write your own thing?
Maybe a bit. When I was 8 years old, I started playing role-playing games. And for probably the first 6 to 8 years, I was a player. But after that, I would run the games. And one of the more elevated skills I have that's completely useless is world building. I can sit down pretty quickly and flesh out a fairly believable fictional realm without too much effort. And I think that is actually one of the things that I really appreciate about reading fantasy novels is seeing other people who have done this. And like in my own writing, it's always nice to take it. And if you're, especially if it's something that you've taken from a role-playing game, there are all the things that the players missed. And if you're writing it yourself, you can explore it at your own pace, in your own direction, however you want to go with it.
So over the last year, 2 years, being on lockdown, all that, have you gotten much more reading done?
I really have. I think it started maybe last Christmas. My mother-in-law asked what I wanted for Christmas, and I said a Books a Million gift card. And so having a gift card to a bookstore is a really great way to get back into reading.
Yeah.
So I went through and I decided to buy a bunch of books, and I haven't really stopped. And I decided I had collected everything Stephen King had put out until probably 96 or so. Then there's this big patch where I hadn't. And I decided in my mind I was going to explore new authors before I was going to allow myself to fall back into the comfort of Stephen King. So I would go out and just look at books and read the description and look at the cover and be like, yeah, we'll give this one a shot. Yeah, we'll try this one out. And sometimes that's worked. And sometimes it hasn't.
So obviously you seem to like print better than digital.
It, really odd considering where I work, but yes.
Okay. Do you read digital books if it's available and maybe just happen to have way to get it or whatever?
I have a really hard time reading digital books just because my mind instantly goes to that work mode where I just want to skim through it and pull out the important stuff. And I just love the touch of paper and the smell of the book. And so if it's going to be something lengthy that I'm reading for myself, I'll spend the $7 to $15 and get a bound copy.
So you said you find these books really browsing the bookstore, looking at the covers, the titles, flip into the back, seeing if it sounds interesting. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, pretty much.
And out of doing this for the last year or so, are there any standout books that you've discovered or authors that you hadn't read before that you really like now?
I have read several authors that I had not read before. But of them all, there is an author by the name of Christina Henry, and she wrote what is called the Chronicles of Alice. I actually bought this at a it was a Barnes & Noble, maybe? I was killing time in Columbus, and so I just went into like this Barnes & Noble around Dublin or so, around that area, and found this book. And the designer in me really appreciated how the book looked and felt. And it dealt with Alice in Wonderland, which is one of my favorite stories. And so I bought it. And then, much to my delight, found out that it was one of a trilogy. So I have definitely enjoyed reading Christina Henry's Alice Chronicles.
Great. And when you get a book, new book, an author you don't know, a book you don't know, that you aren't enjoying, that you don't like, do you still finish it? Do you put it down, move on? What do you do?
That's really funny because it just happened. I've gotten so many of these books and I've read through them. And the majority of the time, if I crease that binding, I'm going to finish it just because I feel I have an obligation to. But recently, I have to admit, I bought a book that came in and I started to read it and found out it was one in a series of like 20 horror / romance books.
Ooh.
And they would get to the romance section and I was just like, I just can't do this. And so I actually stopped reading it and gave the book away.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did who you gave it to, did they like it and appreciate it?
I don't know. They enjoyed romance novels. And so I was like, hey, try this. Maybe you'll like it. And I haven't heard back.
Well, I'd love to find out if they did like it, if they even read it. So your kids, have you passed that on to them, the love of reading? Do they read a lot?
No. I would like to say they do, but in the modern era with so many distractions, they love a good told story. They just don't want to take the time to read it themselves. So they'll have other people read it to them or act it out. They're big into watching movies or YouTube or Netflix, playing role-playing games. But for them, actually reading a book has always been more of a school assignment than something they would sit down to do on their own for pleasure.
Well, that's interesting. I know my kids, when they were younger, read a lot more than they do now.
That's true. Yes. When they were younger, for sure, they would read a lot more. In fact, our Labradoodle's name is Harold because my eldest son was reading the Benicula books when we got him. And the name of the big old fluffy dog in Benicula was Harold. And so that's how our dog got his rather unique name.
Yeah, he does kind of look like that. I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. Well, Reese, thanks for taking some time. It's nice to catch up. We haven't talked much in a while. So, you know, scheduling a podcast episode is a great way to catch up with you.
That's right. You put it on my calendar and I will be there.
Well, that you'll have to, you know, schedule some time to read. I know people that do that.
Yes. Good plan. I'll put it on the calendar and block myself off a couple hours.
Sounds good. Oh, hey, there's another question. I know you, like me, like to play video games, grew up with video games.
Indeed.
And you, I know the Witcher games were some of your favorites. Did you read the books?
Oddly enough, in this past year that I've been splurging on books, I bought the first 5 books in the series, and I just finished them probably a month ago.
Did you enjoy them?
Yes. I think my problem with the Witcher books as a series for the first 5 books was that they needed to have more Witcher in them. Sapkowski was so big on building a world and introducing so many characters and getting you so in depth with all of them that you spent a lot of time with characters that were not on the cover of the book. And some people might not find that an issue, but I love the idea of a mutant-powered monster killer for hire kind of thing, and there wasn't all that much in there.
Huh, interesting, because I've got those sitting on my stack.
Still well-written, and I'll tell you, after the first book is the worst, and as you read on, they continue to get better, and the fifth one is really amazing.
Well, that might be why it took a while to take off, because I know a lot of people say if your first book doesn't hit it right on the mark, people aren't likely to continue on. You and I, we've read plenty of books that they build later or the series builds later. I think it's just a different mindset nowadays.
It's true. I think one of the best things I enjoyed about his books is has nothing to do with the books themselves, but the fact that he was a Polish accountant who just retired and, for lack of anything else to do, sat down and wrote these stories. So it's one of those kind of things like To Kill a Mockingbird, where you're never too old to do this, to build some massive literary empire if you so desire.
Now, I know back in the day, they used to release and we used to read a lot of books based on movies, and they don't have that quite so much anymore. You know, that's kind of what The Witcher, it was backwards, the book first. Do you tend to want to go read a book if a movie's based on it before you see the movie, or do you care?
So, The Witcher's a good example. I had played the video games, but I still had really no desire to read the book. But when I saw the Netflix show, you run through, 9 episodes? And I just was like, I can't wait for the next season. And so that was the impetus for me to actually go out and buy the books, was to give me something to do while I was waiting. Oddly enough, though, if I see the movie first and the book is written after it. And I know this is a point where we differ, like Star Wars or like Indiana Jones. I saw the movies. I have no desire to read the books, and I can't even explain why that is. But if I saw the movie first and the movie franchise existed first, I just can't seem to get myself into the post-movie literature that comes out.
So what about the other way? What if there's a book that you haven't read and a movie comes out? Are you one of those that, yeah, gotta read the book before the movie?
I don't. If I have read the book, I'm more inclined to see the movie just because I'm interested to see how someone else did it. But I don't think that there's, I can't think of a time where like there was a movie coming out based on a book and I was like, oh, wait, I got to read the book first.
Right. I've done that a couple times. I mean, there are some books and movies. Oh, the movie looks good, but I really want to read the book. Cause a lot of times, obviously the books are better than the movies, but as you point out with The Witcher, I think what they're doing with the 8-9 episodes streaming is definitely creating episodes and movies themselves that are as good as reading the book sometimes. Better than movies in the theater, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I think like with The Witcher, the fast-paced nature with which the stories were told and the editing in the show made it flow a lot better than I thought the books did. Now, I know if you go in and watch the Netflix show and you haven't read the books, it can be confusing until they get all the timelines sorted out. But just the fast pace in which they changed, Sapkowski's books are, you know, they might be six chapters in a 500-page book. So there's a long slog between scene changes. And if you're reading a part about a infantryman who you vaguely met it two books ago as he goes into war, you just want to get back to the sections on Geralt. Well, I'm afraid you still have 120 pages before you can do that.
And I will say the show, it took me a bit to click with the time jumps with all the pre stuff going on in the timelines. I think they could have made that clearer, but other than that, I like the show.
I agree 100%. In fact, when I sat down to watch it with my wife, who does not like having to work her way through a show, I would sit there and be like, this is in the past. This is what's happening now. This is in the far future. And I would just like tell her when, you know, when the changes were. And I think it, if you have somebody sit there with you like helped. That, it makes it a lot less frustrating.
Another show they did, The Haunting of Hill House. That was a great show. And honestly, I liked the show on that one a little better than I liked the original story. I thought what they did with it was more interesting.
I would agree. It falls under the same category for me as The Shining. Stanley Kubrick's The Shining was a great movie, probably one of the scariest movies of all time, in my opinion. But they should have called it something else because it certainly wasn't what Stephen King had written.
Right. It's a good movie, but it doesn't fit the book. Now, they did have a mini series back in like the 90s. It was two or three nights. And I thought that was fairly good with keeping close to what the book was trying to get out.
It was very accurate. I remember watching that.
Yeah. And that's one of my favorite books of all time, probably one of my top three.
Yeah, and that's a perfect example. My eldest daughter enjoys reading for pleasure, and she was looking for like a scary book, and I was like, oh, The Shining is one of the scariest books I've read. And she got like a quarter of the way into it. She's like, it's just so slow. Okay. I guess
different eras.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, there. I know if you challenge her and say, "Well, you know, by the time I was your age, I had read almost all Stephen King's catalog," she'd probably take that as a challenge, and probably try and beat you.
Yes, she probably would. You're correct.
Yeah. All right, man. I appreciate you taking some time chatting with me today. I'll let you know when this goes live.
Awesome. I love doing it. Anytime you want to chat.
Yeah,
you set know, up a schedule.
Yeah, maybe I'll do it again. It seems to be going well talking with readers instead of writers or authors.
Yeah, it's really funny because I was thinking about this the other night. I don't read much nonfiction. It doesn't. It's just not a avenue for me.
Which is interesting because I know your father and your brother have read quite a bit.
Oh my gosh, they consume those books.
Yeah.
But you had asked me to write a piece on like horror movies.
Right.
And I wrote it and it came and it flowed fairly naturally. But when I was done, I was like, I just don't really know that I have anything to say. So I had developed a world for the Champions game we're running and everyone else was too busy doing something else. So I decided I was just going to start writing in that world. And shoot, I'm 30, 40 pages deep. It was just like, so apparently this is the niche I'm much more comfortable playing in.
Well, and that's cool too, because there's a big movement going around where people have worlds that multiple authors write in. And it's pretty popular.
Yeah. Did you ever read the Thieves World series?
No.
You should look into it because it's one of the first series that did that. They had fantasy authors, probably on the order of 9 of them. And then they had two guys who were the head editors who said, here are the rules. And everybody came up with their own character and all put them in the same city.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. There's tons of them. I mean, there's probably 9 of their books out there. And all of them are like vignettes written by, you know, one author would do one section, then another author would do the next. It was just very entertaining.
Yeah, it says edited by Robert Asprin. So
yeah, exactly. He was one of the ones who was like, okay, we'll set up the city of Sanctuary. Here's the political climate and here's this. And then everybody else was like, all right, well, I have an idea for this immortal trooper's character. Okay, well, that's yours. And then someone else is like, I've got one for the king of the underground. And they're like, okay, that's your character. So it was really kind of a neat experiment. And it falls into what you were just saying about you set up a world and multiple people can just write in it.
Well, if you ever want anyone else writing something in your world, tell me the rules and what the settings are. That sounds fun.
Awesome. All right.
And FYI, I just started reading Elric finally.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I read an essay on that because I had no idea Michael Moorcock was like still alive.
Really?
Yeah. I was thinking like, you know, Fritz Lieber died in like 1972 or something like that. Michael Moorcock's still alive and he's been writing books this whole time.
Holy crap.
People go through and like when you take the Elric mythology and you start at book one and where it ended up, it morphed into such a bizarre thing. It was like, wow, that's kind of crazy. Yeah. I'm actually intimidated just by the volume of material that's out there.
I now you've got me intrigued. I see, first of all, he was born 2 days after my birthday. So hey, that's interesting.
Good time of year to be born.
Yeah, I wonder if he's been on main podcast, if he'd care to talk to me. That'd be cool.
I don't know. He also has kind of a reputation for being a stickler for protecting his copyright. So.
Oh. Okay. Well, cool. All right, man. I appreciate it. Talk to you later.
It was fun. Say hi to everybody for me.
Yep. Tell Shan I said hi.
Will do.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Discovered Wordsmiths. Come back next week and listen to another author discuss the road they've traveled, and maybe, sometime in the near future, it might be you.